Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr. And on today's show, we have two guys that experienced a somewhat bad loss in D.C. that you probably only heard through radio. Well, not in Matt's case. He was there in person. But on the flip side of that, we get to have a happy podcast and talk about Richmond beating Tormenta, who's really in a bad place right now. That makes me happy. Hi, Matt. Hi, Shanir. How are you guys?
Doing good. Happy.
Yeah.
Very That's happy.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, doing well. Give yourself credit, Elliot. You also got to experience a bad loss in D.C.
Yeah, that's true. It is sad that the USL League One team outperformed the MLS team.
It's not sad.
It isn't.
It's sad for me.
Why is it sad for you?
Because I lost twice in D.C. That sucks.
You should be happy that the Cougars are outperforming MLS quality.
Yeah, this is also true. Also, yeah.
Although I see what shirt you're wearing right now.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, I just picked on the jersey that was beside me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well, I will say this, though. Let me ask you this, Matt. Shit, I don't think you experienced it yet. Those steps climbing up at Audi Stadium. How much do you hate them?
Well, you know what? If you hit the Stairmaster, you're at the gym going into it, you're not ready.
That's what it felt like, the Stairmaster.
Yeah, you feel like you're going good, like the first 10, 15 rows. You're like, all right, it's steep, but it's not bad. And then you look up, and it's still just like acres to go, all the way up there. I mean, going down, piece of cake, no problem with that. Yeah.
Going down is always easy. You're right, like going up, like, once you get past that 10th row, you're like, oh, like I'm like two more seats away. And then you realize you're like, oh no, there's another 20.
Oh, see, I have not experienced it personally, but I have heard. And even though going up may be harder, I've heard that going down is quite terrifying with how steep it is.
Yeah.
You can deal with it. Is that too? It's just, we'll say it's steep. It's just like, you're like, ooh. Yeah,
so it's like going up the fold out ladder to your attic steep.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
This is crazy. But yeah, I was up in DC on Saturday. I will say this. So I'm thankful there was a lightning delay and that we played soccer in the South, because at halftime of the D.C. and Charlotte game, I pulled out my phone to watch Richmond and Tormenta and had way more fun on my phone watching than I did at the game in person.
Of course, yeah, you're rocking the Kickers.
Yeah. Also, that might explain my ADHD a lot in that whole scenario, that I'm just there focusing on, like, this little screen where everything else around me is going on. Also, I saw been taken to a bicycle kick, which sucked.
Agree to disagree.
No, well, it sucked for the fact that, like, that game that killed off Charlotte, but it was a beautiful bicycle kick. Like,
yeah. Again, you're confused by the fact that any of us or probably anybody else listening cares about Charlotte at all.
I mean, No, right. We care about the Richmond Kickers, who won 3-1 against South Georgia Tormenta, who are doing really, really bad right now. But Richmond seemed to take advantage of it. We are going to talk about the D.C. United game, I'm assuming, but we'll save that for end. We want to talk about the good stuff leading off, right?
Yeah. This was basically like our version of the community shield of sorts, something of that sort, kind of league winners versus playoff winners.
Was it? I don't think they mentioned it on the broadcast at all.
Yeah, about 50 times.
First time ever. Oh my gosh. First time ever.
Oh my gosh. No, that's what it did seem like. But I mean, both of these teams played midweek. Tormenta played against Charlotte FC, who we played in the U.S. Open Cup last year. And we played against D.C. United in a 1-0 loss. So it's both teams coming in off of losses in the Cup. And it just seemed like Richmond was more up for it. What are you guys' takes on the whole game?
In the first half, yes. I feel in the first half, the kickers were more up for it. We were creating more of the chances. And we put them to the sword pretty early on in the game.
I don't think it was anything we haven't seen so far this year. The only difference was converting chances this time around. I mean, you look at what's been the hallmark of this team so far, strong organization, a lot of sensible possession. So that's been a change that's new this year, being a little bit more ball dominant, at times. But they've been, rock solid. And there's been some, a few chances here, a few chances, there. But, I mean, they shoot, this time around. And go figure, you take a shot. Maybe it's not, the perfect shot, the walk it in, tap it in from 2 feet out, you kind of shot. But good things will happen.
Yeah, a lot of good things happen. I got to say, man, the first goal was – I really felt like that was kind of like letting the top off like the kettle. Like it just seemed like a lot of unnecessary pressure got released out of this team. Nathan Ani, by far, the starter. Yeah, I put him as the most consistent kicker this year. Like he's been Mr. Consistent so far this year. And a well-deserved goal by him, being in the right place at the right time. Matt, I think we all agree. I think that Zaka had the quote-unquote shot on target, which would have been nice. But even nicer is that Ani finished it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you went into the season and said, hey, Nathan Ani's going to score, off of a corner kick, you're like, okay, yeah, that probably makes sense. Yeah. I don't know if you'd necessarily write it up this way of how it happens. You figured he'd do it with his head. But, I think the first, highlight out of it is, all right, maybe the corner didn't go perfectly, but we were there to clean it up. Zaka was right there at the edge of the box, to be able to, capitalize on that. I feel like we've seen a lot over, the last couple years where that doesn't happen, just a clean, clearance. And sometimes you even get burned on a break off of that. So the fact that Zaka was there to, and then, he had a good look. I think it's the way the goal went down is kind of fitting. We're in NHL playoff, season where you watch hockey, you see an absolute absurd percentage of goals that, aren't actually scored by the guy who shoots it. It's by the guy who's in front of the net and just trying to, get a little bit of a piece of it to get a redirection and into the goal. And that's pretty much what Ani did right there. He was just, kind of there and, took a little bit of a redirect off of his foot shin. The cameras were pretty crap, so you couldn't really tell what he hit it with. Yeah. But it went in, so I don't really care what he hit it with.
Ani's now coming into what, year three at Richmond? Mm-hmm. And we've seen the progressive growth out of him. Is this the best version of Ani that we've seen so far? Like what's making him take it seems like he really just took a next level step. From last year to this year,
I think we're seeing him what we saw in Bolaños, just a steady improvement every season. He got better and better, and now he's just it's just continuing. The first season he was with us, he was pretty good. Second season he played more of a leadership role. He started to improve even more, and this season he is just lights out, a stonewall back there. In fact, he commands the respect and control in the back, much similar to Yambi did. You can see that sense of control. I remember there was a meme that went around of Yambi when he came back from an injury, and it had a picture of him while he was coaching, putting his hands out, like having his hands facing down, kind of that calm down gesture. And underneath it said, calm down, I'm back. and that is the type of demeanor that we now have with Ani. Ani has that presence that when he's back there now, he's running it, and everything is going to run like a well-oiled machine because he's got everything unlocked. It wasn't like that the first year. It was getting closer to that the second year, but now we are reaching that peak. We don't know if it's going to continue to improve next year. Hopefully he stays next year. Please stay next year. it looks like he's just going to continue to improve in that way. It doesn't look like it's slowing down.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it too is, you know, a little bit of, you know, confidence, you know, growth, you know, too. He comes in the first year. I mean, he's a reserve essentially, you know, right? He would, you know, you pop in. Sometimes you'd end up playing, you know, D mid. You know, he was just kind of thrown in wherever, you know, if somebody needed, you know, some minutes. Last year, he was kind of in that, you know, triangle.
He came to COVID year. I don't know how I can forget that. The Toronto FC game, didn't he play striker that game? So, yeah, he's been there 4 years now. Okay, my fault. I didn't mean to interrupt your point.
No, that wasn't the COVID year. That was
I just
year
forgot after. He came to COVID. So, he's been here 4 years. Yeah, you're right, because he started off as a reserve.
No, it's year three.
Really? 2020, 2021.
He played with Omaha. Omaha wasn't around before COVID.
I swear. Oh, okay.
The Toronto game you're thinking of was 2021.
Okay. All right. Never mind.
Yeah. Time has no meaning around the time of COVID.
Right. But last year, he was in a, you know, a three-way for two spots, and he played a lot, you know, but, you know, still not a locked-on, you know, starter. Yeah. This year, he's relied on to be the man back there, and I think he's thriving under that. You know, so, I think he looks a lot more comfortable with the ball at his feet, you know, than he did, you know, previously, mm-hmm. You know, as well. So, yeah, it's been – you know, really exciting, really good to be able to see him, you know, kind of, you know, blossom and you know, be that big man in the back that we know Darren loves to have. You know, we know he likes the, you know, big guy and, you know, kind of more classic, you know, small ball player kind of guy. Not that Dakota's that small a guy or anything, but that's the style combo that Darren likes. And I mean, he's got a good duo right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a really good duo, probably. Like I've been saying, man, this backline has been the most consistent part of this team thus far, while the offense caught up. We finally had a game where the offense caught up. And one of those players that we were kind of questioning at the beginning of the year really had a standout performance, Justin Sukow, who had the second goal. He had a nice hit. Well, he had the corner kick that led to the first goal. Second goal. Being in the right spot at the right time, once again, is a beautiful thing. And it's nice to see that our midfielders are now contributing to the attack. It's such as just the Sukow did. Now, it was also a good crossback. Matt, I saw your tweet about how, like, Misha was doing a great job. And you can kind of see he's on the same trajectory as Simon Finch was last year, coming in and being a solid left back. But he still hasn't developed that attacking outfit such as Michael Hornsby has.
Yeah.
It was good to have him back.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you feel bad for Jake because he really didn't do anything wrong while he was, you know, in there, you know, from what I can, you know, recall. Like, he was, you know, again, you know, just as solid as a lot of the other guys. But, no, he doesn't have, you know, the attacking presence. And, I mean, it's just noticeable. Even in the DC game, you know, when Hornsby came in, you know, it became a lot more dynamic, you know, going up, you know, the left all of a sudden. And I think the attack needs that, you know, because, you know, we love Simon. You know, he's not going to give you that at the same level. And we need it at least on one side, you know, of the field coming out of our fullbacks. So glad to have him back. But, you know, having Jake who can sub in at, you know, either fullback spot, you know, that's a nice piece to have on the bench.
I'm assuming that Jake will develop this offensive output sooner than later.
Probably.
But yeah. But having Hornsby out there, man, Hornsby is like having like another winger out there, man. It is. I didn't realize how much we've missed a player like that in our team until I've seen it with two pretty defensive fullbacks. Like, I know. And then the third goal we got in this game was Terzaghi. And he finally opened his league's account off of a – it's pretty much a penalty, right? It was on the line of the box, wasn't it?
It was a little farther out than that, but it wasn't – it was like 20 yards, I think.
Well, I will say this, man. For Chizagi missing that penalty in the DC United game, that I'm pretty sure that haunted him a little bit. It's nice to see him kind of let that go and score this banger free kick, which took a deflection off of Cassini. And it's great because I love seeing Cassini do bad things. he deserves it. After the way how he celebrated that Henny Darby goal, yeah, he deserves every bad thing that happens to him on the soccer field.
Can we just look at his taste in teams?
That's a good enough reason.
Let's go ahead. Let's talk about this third goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to, well, like you said, nice to see Emmy, you know, get one to go in. You know, even if it takes a, you know, deflection, you know, to get in there. Sometimes, you know, that's what you need. It's, you know, you can make the basketball analogy, like, you know, guy just needs to, you know, see it go through the hoop. Once, you know, you see that, you know, start going, they start, you know, coming more and more and more. So getting that first one, you know, hopefully that opens the floodgates a little bit more. But it looks like a nice free kick. I have no idea if it would have, you know, actually, you know, gotten in, beat Hara, you know, without the deflection or not. Doesn't matter. Never need to know that at this point. It was interesting that, you know, Emmy took it because Neil was out. You know, and I think that's pretty much default, you know, Neil Vignal's, you know, territory. And I was trying to remember, have we seen Emmy score a free kick?
Yeah, before? No, I think this is his first.
I believe so.
This is his first free kick that he scored.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. There we go. He's doing it all, man. You know why? Because he's super Emmy. Someone that we've also seen come back into this lineup. I don't think we mentioned it when we first started, but no Neil Vignals. We know he had the ankle injury from the last match. So no Neil Vignals, no Gordon. By the way, he was getting – I don't know if y'all listened to the radio call of the U.S. Open Cup game, but Gordon was getting a lot of love from the D.C. United crew. Like, even so much, they were like, yeah, Gordon can come up to MLS and play left back, which caused me to think for a second, like, I don't know what would make you think you can play left back. But that was kind of interesting. But yeah, we were missing those two. But Akira Fitzgerald comes back into the lineup, and I got to say, he looks really good, making a lot of plays.
The man in red, go figure, the guy in red looks good.
I mean, well, look, once again, much like Jake Meacham, Willie Palms did an amazing job where he carries out, but it's nothing like having the original end goal. And he came up huge. Second half, I think what Termenta had two big opportunities. I mean, they did score a goal that we gave up later in the game, but Akira, from having a first half that was kind of meek and mill to a second half, and he makes two huge saves that keeps us in the game. Well, keep the game in our favor. Let me say that.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good. You know, here's another, you know, just good piece for the possession game that, you know, seems to be growing, you know, quite a bit. Although I'm pulling up the stats now, you know, only had 39% possession. I'm guessing that's because the second half we were just fine sitting back the entire time and letting them do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, great to have him back there. I think just, I mean, he's a coach on the field. I mean, literally because he is a coach, but also other, you know, organizers. He's seen it all in front of him, you know, before, and you know he can, you know, be able to, you know, pick out, you know, that right pass, that right ball. You know, I think that's maybe a little bit of where the differentiator between the two of them is at the moment, is, you know, that distribution piece, that, you know, ability to be able to, you know, be an asset in converting, you know, possession into the attack, even from the goalkeeper position.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the thing that really separates Akira from Willie Paul's other is just like you said, Matt, like his distribution is on another phase, another level. Like, you don't I gotta say, like, you don't second guess him with the long ball going out to the corner. Should be your favorite pass in the whole world. yeah, you feel like every time a Kara makes that kick, is going to get there. Like, the ball is going to get to where it needs to be. And once again, like, who knew having a Kara and Hornsby back, two defensive players, would lead to this attacking output that we saw?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's too much related to the attacking output, but this I don't know if this game would have had the same result if Akira is not in goal. He made some very key, he made probably three or four very key saves in the second half. Two or three key saves. One of them was actually a block by, I think, Dakota tracking back. But yeah, he made some very key saves. You could see he brought a sense of calm to the defense. In turn could have allowed the team to be more comfortable going forward. But I don't know if that much too much is too much the case because of the fact that there wasn't that much that Tormenta offered in form of attack in the first half. They were kind of on the back heel for most of the first half. We were in their faces for most of the first half. So, although Hornsby definitely did do some attacking stuff, that was pretty cool.
Guys, what makes Hornsby? We can focus on Hornsby real quick for a second, but like, what makes him so unique and so special towards this Richmond Kickers team?
I think he part of it's just he gets forward and you know connects through there, but he doesn't always take a direct path forward. He'll kind of carve in a little, not full diagonal. But maybe at a slightly acute angle, some of these runs and move away from the touch line and drive inside a little bit every now and then with the ball. And I think that helps to just create different angles with the midfield, create some different space. Whereas I think over on the right side, Simon, even when Jake was in there, they're a little bit more purely vertical, up and down, kind of guys. Yeah, so for me, I think that's a little bit, of it. I think he's just also a superior crosser of the ball. So able to, get his head up, pick out, where he wants to be able to, play the ball, fairly accurate with it. We saw he got the assist on Suko's goal yesterday. So, for me, that's what I see on there. Shaneer, what are you seeing with Hornsby when he gets forward?
Did unpredictability, kind of what you're saying. It's hard to keep tabs on him on the other side of the field. It's hard to keep tabs on him. It's hard to keep an eye on where he's going to be at. He's not easy to predict in terms of his movement. Another thing is Hornsby is not lights out amazing as an attacking fullback, a la Trent Alexander-Arnold, but he also isn't a lights-out, amazing one-on-one defensive fullback, the likes of, I don't know, Aaron Wan-Bissaka of sorts. He is literally the balance of the two. So that is what makes him so unique, I think, also, is the fact that he is good in attack, good in defense, so he literally covers that whole side of everything you would need on that whole side. He's not concentrated on one or the other.
This is the second time, I'm just remembering this, but this is the second time we have had at least a 5-minute discussion on why Michael Hornsby is really good. So it must stand to be he's really good.
He's solid.
I feel like maybe Darren and Mika actually know exactly what they're looking for in their left backs. Last year they went out and found Stu. They went out and found Hornsby.
Real quick, so I've been keeping up the track with the guys that are MLS Next Pro. Have you guys seen Stu at all yet? I've seen, I mean, of course, Ethan, he scored.
But am I bothering to watch that? No.
Probably not. But I was just wondering. I hope he's okay. I just haven't seen his name pop up yet for the Columbus crew out there. So, just made me think about it. So, of course, we play another game. Moving on. We play another game early in the week. We played DC United. That was a 1-0 loss. There's no video footage of it. So, unless you heard the radio call, then that's it. And apparently they had a whole feed and everything in the stadium, Matt.
Oh, so yeah.
Could have shown the game.
Yeah, I saw the replays and everything. It was awesome. Yeah.
God.
Could have come up.
I only got
– could have seen the video board.
The only video of it I saw was
one of the girls
that coach went to the game, and she showed me footage on her phone of the PK. That was it.
Yeah. Well, also, shout out to RRK Refugees. I think it was John. He kind of Instagram streamed like the first 10 or so minutes. So I saw that. And then after that, it was kind of like, all right. I just have to listen. Like I felt like I had to like sit really, really close to my computer and just hold it. Like that's the only thing I could focus. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't like go around and do other stuff. Like I had to hold in and focus on this. And from what I can hear, they played really, really well. The defense was solid. And DC United wasted a bunch of chances, but also Richmond wasted a bunch of chances. Am I correct in saying that, Matt?
I feel like, you know, the number of chances maybe being a little bit overstated for both teams.
Okay.
So if you listen to the show last week, you know, I asked the question, you know, what does this game look like if, you know, Richmond's going to win? And what did we all pretty much say? You know,
keep it defensively tight, you know, just be solid and counterattack with.
Try to steal one, right?
Yeah.
That's what happened. You know, so. Wasn't much going forward. Like DC probably had the ball 75% of the game, which we know the guys, you know, can be able to handle. We know that they can be able to do, but most of, you know, the danger came from, you know, Gordon, you know, putting on the Jets and trying to get, you know, up that left side. So I think I understand where, you know, that some of that commentary could, you know, be, because I think he actually can be a good defender when he's actually thinking about and, you know, focusing on that, and with his speed, you get forward that way. I don't think he has like full-time MLS speed or anything, but you know, maybe move back a line, you could do it. But that's where most of the chances were coming from. He wasted a few of them, you know, just, you know, holding it up and either, you know, holding the ball too long and getting, you know, double, triple teamed before you do anything, or, you know, just not doing anything with it in the first place. Yeah. Every now and then, Bentley, you know, and Simon were connecting a little bit on the right side, but wasn't much going over there. Not a thing going through the middle at all anywhere, especially in the first half. But like 41st, 42nd minute, that's where the biggest kicker, you know, chance in the first half, you know, came in. You know, Owain, you know, got himself, you know, free and clear, you know, down the left, and you know, able to actually cut the ball, you know, into the box. You know, played a nice ball to Emmy, nowhere like 8 or 9 yards, you know, out, you know, had a chance to take a touch and shoot it. And he probably should have scored. You know, I don't know if it was as much a save as it hit somebody along the way and went out for a corner, but you would have happily, if that play was drawn up, you would have, you know, taken that chance with him in every single time.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like DC had some stuff, but I don't remember that like Akira actually having to make like a tough save.
It didn't. Well, from what I've heard, it didn't seem like it either. Like it didn't seem like Akira was.
Yeah, there were some times when the ball was bouncing around the box a little bit, and you know, got a little nervy with that. But and then, you know, Belmar came in, and you know, the second half, and you know, he was doing a really good job. He drew the penalty. You know, him and Hornsby were doing, you know, doing work down the left side. That's where a lot of the danger came from. Even Luke on the right side, you know, just being a nuisance and a pest, was able to open up, you know, some space, and you know, he made a good contribution, you know, in the attack over there too. So, you know, the game plan was they hit it to a T. He just DC made a penalty, Kickers didn't.
Yeah. That's what it really seemed like it came down to, man. I'm gonna say that question for later. I know it's a loss, but do you feel like a loss like this could be that propelling point for the Kickers to go forward? I mean, obviously we saw it on Saturday with the win. But do you think like a loss like this could be that propelling point for the Kickers going forward, knowing how you played against an MLS squad?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, okay. Because it was very different than last year, right? Last year, you know, the game was, you know, first half, you know, a little bit open. You're down 1-0 at halftime against Charlotte, but you know, fought back, got, you know, that goal. But, you know, it wasn't like, you know, there were shortage of chances. You know, Kier had to make, you know, a few good saves, but even the Charlotte keeper had to make a couple good saves. You know, like I know there's one, I think it was Bentley had a header that, not sure the keeper knew anything about it, but he saved it in that game. That wasn't this DC game. This DC game was, you know, game plan and execution of said plan. And I think being able to, you know, show that, hey, you know, we can be able to set out and do what we need to do against, you know, a team that, you know, brought on a guy who's on loan from a Premier League, you know, team, you know, you know, started a guy who's played, you know, World Cups, and you brought on another guy who, you know, is, you know, DP was playing in the Premier League earlier this, you know, season. Yeah. Yeah, they had, you know, it was a young team overall. You could see DC was out athletic. You know, they were running faster and, you know, getting there sooner than all of our guys every single time. Especially in the midfield, it was readily apparent. Like, you know, they weren't used to getting closed down that quick and having to move the ball that fast. But, you know, you could also see it in, you know, the DC guys that, you know, they weren't as polished, you know, especially final third sort of things, because, yeah, better players probably would have, you know, made us pay for, you know, some mistakes, because there were some giveaways in the midfield that probably should have been punished some more, but they weren't.
Yeah.
But on your topic from the beginning, yeah, Ani was immense in that game. He was just, you know, shutting everything down in the back, you know, building the ball out of the back. Cole was good, you know, back there. So he's kind of, we're a little questioning, you know, after the Cleveland game, but, you know, between Wednesday and he came in on, you know, yesterday, you know, did a good job. Get, you know, back there when he came on, he's, you know, showing that, you know, he can still be a contributor.
Yeah. I mean, I think this goes into our next point about like building depth. Like, are we starting to see that depth being built? Obviously, you know, like you said, Chris Cole, Mitchell, Willie Palms. Is there anyone else that stands out to you right now being part of that quote unquote depth part of the Kickers needed? Like, they can come in, play starter minutes if need to, but if not, they can make impact as a sub.
I'd say Luke Pavone. He has that Swiss Army knife characteristic about him. He's like the James Milner of the team. You can plug and play. It's always good to have one of those on your team, a player that you can plug into any position and they can comfortably do a job there. Apart from the guys you named, I think that's the only one I can add to that list.
Yeah,
but that's a decent number.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm fully comfortable with, you know, if Luke had to start, you know, quite yet. I'd probably be a little worried about, you know, about that. But yeah, I think, you know, Zhao Gamero, you know, it was by necessity, but he's come in the last two games, you know, this week, and you know, really put in, you know, a shift, you know, hasn't looked, at a minimum, hasn't looked out of place,
yeah,
you know, in there. And I mean, I know that was one of my concerns, because I've said it, you know, on here a few different times, is that, is there anybody else in the midfield that, you know, Darren is willing, you know, to turn to, willing to go to, other than, you know, the big three, you know, for lack of a better name, you know, for them at the moment. And, you know, I think, you know, Zhao is establishing himself and, you know, earning, you know, that trust as, you know, somebody who can, you know, start if necessary, but, you know, be able to, you know, come in and contribute. I think we're starting to see a little bit more, you know, Chandler O'Dwyer, you know, is, you know, a guy who can come in, he's not the most dynamic, you know, player, but he's a big body, you know, in the midfield that can, you know, help at least right now to be able to, you know, shut down wins if necessary. You know, hopefully he can be able to build into more and more over time. But yeah, I'll be happy when EVD is back and ready to go, because I think that might be a missing link for the attack.
Yeah, most definitely. David Olsen, got the mission, made his debut. Well, not his debut. He was on the bench. Do we see him helping out at all with attack? Or slowly trying to, like, does Darren start slowly bringing him in, like, 5-10 minutes at a time to see how he does with attack?
I think David Olsen is, I think he's going to end up turning into what Luke Pavone was early on. Put him into the attack, not to score goals, but to press the defense. Because when he came on, that's what he was doing. He was putting a lot of pressure, bringing that energy to the front line, that literally was forcing Tormenta to try and play those long balls in to get the ball up the field rather than trying to play from the back. They weren't able to do that as much with him harrying the back line as much as he was. And if he can fine-tune that and keep that up, he would basically be that front-of-the-line disruptor that could lead to us winning possession a lot further up the field than normal.
All right. Matt, I saw your face there for a second. You got something you want to add?
I hope our center forward, only center forward sub, is not there to play defense and there to actually try to score goals. especially when Emmy is on his inevitable yellow card suspension.
Yes. Oh boy. Well, I can fill in by all three, Bentley, Gordon, and Belmar. Speaking of Belmar, guys, I gotta say he's looked obviously it's only been a couple of games without Hornsby, but he's looked a lot more comfortable out there with Hornsby on the field than with Meacham. Do you think that's just like, once again, we're singing the praise of Hornsby, but do you think that's just because of Hornsby having more game time than Meacham at this level? Or do you think it's just like, no, these two just really pair really, really well?
I think they pair.
You can go ahead.
Yeah, I think they pair well. I think, Hornsby is somebody who can, get wide, but I think that allows Belmar to play a little bit more, inside, like closer to the penalty area, where I get the impression he's probably a little bit more comfortable. He's not necessarily a, heels on the touchline, kind of wide player. He's more of inverted winger, inside forward style, guy up there. So I think that's why, they might seem to click a little bit better, because I think just their preferred styles are more complementary.
Yeah, and they do really seem to complement each other really, really nice. They complement each other so well that the kicker's got a big win. If we go by the table right now, I think we're in fifth spot again. So really doesn't mean all too much right now because the table's all over the place. But it's nice to get back on the winning side of things and get a big win with some nice goals, and did not let a disappointing U.S. Open Cup game slow us down. Because I feel like this is the game, we had to go out there and win. Like, losing this game against the Tormenta team that's been in the dumps recently, this would have stung. Like, this would have been kind of worrying to me if we would have lost this game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with most of that. I don't think it was a disappointing loss. I thought they played well, so I would push back a little bit on characterizing the Open Cup game in that way.
True.
But I think being able to, get back, on the winning track, be able to have, show that this team can score goals. I think that's the big takeaway, because I think, there's even a big difference if, they squeeze, win yesterday and squeeze out a 1-0. Versus going in there and putting in three in the first half.
Yeah.
right? I think we still have that question of, is this everything always going to be at a razor's edge, game to game, sort of deal. And the fact that we were able to see that, okay, they do have it in them to put goals on non-amateur teams, is reassuring.
Reassuring to be the fact, as all. So I think that's a good way how to book in that. Matt, I'm going to toss it over to you so you can go in and we can do our what do we call it again? We haven't done it in a while.
Top threes.
Player rating, Top three player rating.
I was trying to think, do we have a name for it? But I couldn't remember. But yeah, let's go ahead and do our top threes.
All right. You boys want me to start off this week?
Yeah, we'll have you start off because you got the experience, DC. Which, by the way, real quick before we start, I want to ask this. How was the march to the stadium? How was the support? I know there were, a lot of people up there.
There were a lot of people there. Didn't get there for any of the pregame stuff because I took the Metro in. And, long story short, apparently there was something, wrong with, Metro stop, 7 or 8 stops ahead of where I was. So I ended up sitting in the train for half an hour between stops. He was like, okay, well, maybe it's better. Wait out at the next stop. Nope, doesn't, not quite as long, but similar thing between the next two stops. So yeah. I was like, all right, I'm bailing at this point. And then it took me 25 minutes to, find a Uber that would actually pick me up right by the White House. So it wasn't like it was in a weird spot.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So yeah, I got there 10 minutes before the game.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you made it there safely. I'm afraid to ask, but how much was the Uber?
It wasn't bad. It was $30.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I mean, it's a decent price. But yeah, let's go ahead. Let's talk about it. Top threes.
Yeah, top three. So for me, my three is going to, big man in the back, Nathan Aune. Got the goal, was absolutely rock solid all game. I don't know what more needs to be said than that. My two for this week goes to Michael Hornsby. Again, he just created. And not only that, solid in defense the whole way through. So I thought he was, quite the catalyst and game changer, for us. And then my one goes to Justin Succo. Probably would have been higher up if it wasn't for that goal that Tormenta scored. That's not the point, though. He contributed well otherwise. So he gets my one.
All right. I have the same three. I have the same two. But my one, I would give it to Akira. Coming back, having a strong performance against DC United, having another strong performance against South Georgia Tormenta. It is good to have his distribution back there. So that's where I would go. Shanir?
I'm going to have to go with the same three as Matt. It's really close between Succo and Akira for that 1 point spot. But yeah, I'm going to have to go with Succo for 1 point. So the same three as Matt. Because Aune was a wall. Hornsby was a handful. And, Succo, to get his first kicker's goal, and he was a nuisance in the midfield. He was popping up in spots and just causing the defense a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, honestly, it was. So Richmond, right now, like I said before, back to top of the table. 8 points, 2 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss. And this Friday, so not Saturday, this Friday at 7 p.m.?
Great. 7 o'clock, not 6 this time.
Yeah, 7 p.m. Because they realized it's Friday. Let's make sure people can get to the stadium. this thing. Take on Union Omaha on Cinco de Mayo. So this is going to be a little interesting. Are we expecting a big crowd? And two, what do we think the kickers are going to be looking to do against Union Omaha side that's kind of hot right now?
I don't think they're any different than us right now.
Well, I think the last two games they scored 3 goals, haven't they? Or just the last game? I think the last two.
I can't remember what their order of their games have been, but they lost one to North Carolina at home. We lost one to Charlotte at home. Those are basically interchangeable. Yeah. And they beat NoCo, but NoCo also got the guy sent off 15 minutes into the game, and still ship two to them, even down to 10. So,
yeah, that's true. This Union Omaha size is a lot different than the Union Omaha size of old. So they're kind of reminding me of how Chattanooga is right now. I'm pretty sure Joey G is going to get. How do you think the fans are going to receive him?
I don't know how many are going to remember him. Or realize who he is at first until somebody like distinctly points it out.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's going to be like 5 minutes of love for the Red Army, and then the rest of the game he's just like, the moment he does something that we don't like, he's going to get it turned on.
Oh, he's going to get it.
Yeah, he's going to get it. I feel like. Yeah, you're right, man. Dang, that, woo. Yeah, he's part of that 2019 team. That's, yeah. A lot of people are not going to remember that squad, and for obvious reasons. I think what I was asking before, though, is how many people are we expecting to come out for this game? Do you think it's going to be like the full 5K or more close to 3K on this?
I don't have a good sense on this one, to be totally honest. I mean, you got the Cinco de Mayo promotion going, so people, and to be real, by people, I mean, my people, the white people, love celebrating holidays have nothing to do with them whatsoever.
Yeah.
So that might, draw some people, in there. It's like, oh, Cinco de Mayo. It's like, it's not even, not actually Mexican Independence Day, FYI. But who cares? They want to show up and buy tickets, let them, come and, appropriate, culture all they want.
Yeah.
Maybe not all.
You know it's all about an excuse. It's just an excuse to drink, isn't it?
Yeah,
St. Patrick's Day, Jaeger bomb, Cinco de Mayo, tequila. I mean, it's
nothing wrong with either one of those. I like
them. Yeah.
So one last thing before we wrap up. Who do we think is going to be the big top performer? Do we expect Neil to be back? What are our thoughts on this game?
Who do we expect? Or who do we see?
I think they go hand in hand. Like, if you expect Neil to be back, because I don't think Neil's going to be back. I think it's going to be blah, 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 blah. Sukau and Zhao again. Mm-hmm. Do y'all think Neil is back?
No.
Okay.
I'll believe he's back when he's back.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think, who I expect will be, Ani, Dakota. Those guys.
Yeah.
But who I'd like to see be able to break through is Bentley, because he's been up and down so far this year, and I'd like to see him be able to break through on the score. Ideally a goal, but even if it's an assist or so, be able to see him make that final contribution in there.
I feel like that's kind of like the thing that's missing from his game right now is just to have that big explosion game. So hopefully, it'd be nice to have it happen against Union Omaha. That'd be nice. Guys, that is the show. Any last things before we wrap it up?
No. Just happy to get an emphatic win on the road.
Yes,
especially on the road.
Yes, it is. So once again, fans, remember, game is Friday, not Saturday. It's 7 p.m., not 6 p.m. Come out and cheer on the Ruse and probably have some tequila at the tailgate and enjoy yourselves. But with that being said, for Matt, for Shanier, and myself, we will holler at you guys next time. Be easy and be safe.